Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is praise time. Who's got a praise to share this morning? Yes, Karen.
Charlotte passed her Medicaid snake course with a 98.
That's pretty good.
So now all she has to do is do her testing for the state.
As long as you're not that patient, she needs that last 2% to get good shape.
Pretty good chance.
You know, other than that, it's all working out good. Who else has a praise? Yes, Jane.
I've been praying and asking God to take this precious leg syndrome away from my body. And since Thursday night at midnight, I have not had a single jerk.
Good.
Amen.
And I thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good. Who else? Yes, Chris.
I just praise God. I'm still sleeping good. I mean, you read, like, I'm reading all these things, like, there are quite a few people who are supposed to not be able to sleep good. And I've been sleeping good, like, the whole time. So I just praise God ever than I've ever slept. And I used to have to take sleep medicine before I was pregnant, but I stopped it right when I thought I was pregnant, and I thought I needed it. But I've slept better than I ever have in my life.
I snore like when I'm good.
Praise God.
That's wonderful. Sleep is one of those things in life that when it's gone, you really miss it.
Yeah.
All right, who else got the praise? Yes, Francis.
See, usually they schedule me for Sunday walk, and I'm just tired of missing Sunday service in full. So something just told me to call in today. Usually it will take some doing before they approve it. Without any question, I said, okay, you can come today, fine. You know? I mean, I said, that's easy.
There you go. You ask not because you ask not.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You don't ask, you don't receive.
Yes. Keith, what's your break?
Opportunity to earn extra money.
Cool.
Make the finances stretch.
There's almost always work for somebody who wants to work. It's almost always.
That's
amazing
right.
What's out there. Everybody needs help.
I'm praising the Lord for 10, 11 years that he gave us with Kiki, our little Pomeranian. She died yesterday morning
Kiki
in her sleep.
Kiki is gone. In her sleep.
Aww. Yeah, she died in her sleep.
I'm not going to make any Kiki the bucket jokes.
Okay.
Because I know how attached people get to their dogs. Anybody else?
I just want to praise God. That he's God, that he's awesome, and he's good, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he's beautiful, and he's awesome. And we just love him.
Amen. And that he loves us is the real part that we can't figure out, but he does. Yes, Jerry.
I have a friend, but anyway, he was going through some really hard times, lost his job, you know, all this and that good stuff. And he kept saying, you know, why has God forsaken me? And yeah, you say there's a God and all that good stuff. So I kept telling him, you know, you just got to believe. You got to ask God and you got to believe and all this and that. But of course he didn't. But I prayed so hard. And I, you know, and I talked to the Lord and I told him, I know this man don't believe and yada, yada, yada. But I need this so I can use this to preach to him and to tell him, to show him, you know. 2 or 3 days after I started praying there, this man got a job. And I was able to witness to him through this worldly or whatever you want to call it act. It made a difference, and I am so grateful because I've never really prayed for something like that. It was great.
Cool. Anybody else? Hi, Nona.
Praise is for answered prayers.
Amen. There's a bunch of that going around. There sure is. Answered prayers. You know, we're getting ready to start Exodus this morning. Since we're kind of in the middle, I feel like I could take a little liberty and maybe just chase a rabbit or two. And, you know, chasing rabbits not always good, but they're barbecued, they're pretty good. So every once in a while, you know, a little rabbit chasing might be in order. The message this morning is about stewardship. And it's the follow-up to the text in Luke chapter 15 where the prodigal son came home and, you know, the big brother got mad and, oh, we've learned a lot from this over the last couple of weeks. There's been some really good stuff. So we're going to go into chapter 16, which is, if you read verse 1 of chapter 16 right after the story of the prodigal, and it says, and he said also unto his disciples. That means that this next message, this next lesson, is a follow-up to the one previous. And it was given on the same day, and it's the same time, and is all about the same subject matter. When you see those things in the Bible like that, it kind of makes you stop and think. If you're, you know, sometimes you just go on and don't even notice it's there. But these are tied together. Jesus had all this going on in one lesson that he's teaching, or one day's teaching that he's teaching the disciples. So I thought we'd just go into it. I'm not going to be able to cover nearly the amount of details that can be learned from this. But Terry made me, what she just said about the man that lost his job, and it reminded me of the guy that we're going to be preaching about today. I mean, this guy has lost his job. That's exactly the context of the scripture. It's said in a parable situation, type of situation. Now, I say that, but it does say there was a certain rich man, and when it says that, it probably did happen. It probably was exactly, you know, and the Lord's just not using names to teach the lesson from it. There's a lot of confusion about this unjust steward here and what he's, you know, the Lord commended him and so on and so forth. I thought we might just spend a little extra time on it. We're going to be discussing it in Monday night's home team. So we're going to have some more fun with it then. But this thing is so loaded. There's only 13 verses here in this parable. And then the covetous Pharisees start arguing with Jesus, and then he has to set them straight. But let's read those 13 verses and have some fun with it this morning. Would you like to take a little break from the Old Testament?
Yep.
Just enjoy a rabbit-chasing adventure this morning. I need to turn my mic on. Okay, here's our rabbit-chasing adventure for this morning. Let's read first the text, 13 verses in Luke 16. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. All right. First of all, what's a steward?
A manager.
Yeah.
He's a manager. That's exactly right. An overseer, a manager. Same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. So he's just been fired. He's calling for him to give an account for what he's wasted, and he's fired in the same breath. Then the steward said within himself. All right, he's talking to himself now. You ever talk to yourself?
Sure, yes. I always say self.
Self? What are you going to do about this?
What shall I do?
And when self starts talking back, you could then start worrying. Okay. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. And he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. Which is?
80.
You all are getting good with Bible math. 10 minus 1 equals what?
9.
No.
No. I said Bible math. 10 minus 1 equals?
10.
10 minus 1 is greater than 10. 10 minus 2 is greater than 10 minus 1.
Oh, God. I'm lost.
All right, 10 minus 1 equals?
11.
Greater than 10.
It's greater than 10.
What?
10 minus 1. You get $100, you bring the Lord the first tenth, and the 90 goes further than the 10 would go. 10 minus 1 is greater than 10.
10, huh? Okay.
Yeah, get you. Do I have to give you math lessons every Sunday? Come on. And 10 minus 2 is greater than 10 minus 1. Then that's the fun. That's where the fun part starts. Okay, where was I anyway? I got all messed up.
Yeah,
rabbits are going everywhere. And the Lord commended
the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And then he tells us where the real lesson of all this is. He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If you therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is basically money.
Question. Is the Lord advising us to make friends with gamblers?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Is that what he's doing? So what did this guy, what did this steward do? Why is he in trouble? Why is he not being given a raise and honored because he's such a good steward? What's the problem? Yes?
Did he loan the stuff out?
No, he's doing business. He's the business manager, and he's handling what the guy's selling and what the others are paying and collecting the money and doing what managers do. That's what managers do. I am the steward over Lighthouse Baptist Church. You know, you preachers think of a steward, they think of preachers because you're indirectly over decision-making as to what money is spent and where and why and where it goes. And, you know, then we have budgets, of course, so that the church is in general in control. But somebody has to do the work of getting it to where it's got to go and make sure everything's done. And so that's what managers are for. That's what they do. That's what a steward is. So he has been accused now. Obviously, he's guilty of it because he's been accused of wasting his master's goods. That could be slothful business. It could be not collecting the invoices. It could be failing to invoice and get the bill out. It could be a lot of different things. You know, delivering too much instead of what was purchased, allowing caskets of oil to fall off the wagon, and there's all kinds of ways to waste the goods. Well, you know, he may have been abusing his expense account. You know, it's a lot of different ways you could waste someone else's property.
And he goes around collecting payments from all these people.
Yeah, we don't really know, but we know that he's guilty of wasting the goods. Terry, go ahead.
I've never thoroughly understood this, but where he specifies the amounts, does that imply that was a large amount, or is it just not?
Well, the debtor owed him for 50 measures of oil. Now, that would be whatever the container is that they were selling. I'm sure there's an amount for a measure, but I don't know what that is, really. He gave him half off so that he would like him.
He wanted to collect the money right now.
Friends right now.
He gave the guy half off so that the guy would be his buddy.
So it had nothing to do with the master, correct?
No, it had everything to do with the master. It's the master's oil that he's giving away.
Yeah. Why did he give him half off?
He said, here's what I'm going to do. My Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. He says, I'm resolved that when I am put out of the stewardship, that means he's fired. He's not going to live there in the little company house anymore. He's gone. Now, where is he going to go? He says, I'm too old to do manual labor. I can't dig ditches anymore. And I'm ashamed to beg. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to set myself up with the customers of my master so that they'll receive me into their house, and I'll be able to get another job and go to work for them and be taken care of.
One hand washes the other, do a little back.
And so this is what he does. This goes on all the time. It goes on, and how do you think a president leaves the office broke and in 3 years as a multi-billionaire or millionaire? I mean, you know, they have made friends with the unrighteous mammon with your money and giving it away. This is so common of a of an issue, and I don't have time to talk about that part of it later in the message, but it's going to be fun to talk about it here. So you're going to kind of have a preview going on in walking into this. So this is going on all the time, and this is why the Lord here says the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Christians obeying biblical ethics are not going to do this.
Yes.
That's the situation. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors. I mean, he got them all. We're only told about two.
I'm first name on it.
So this guy has, he's covered the bases here. And so he gives 20% off to one guy and 50% off to another. And the Lord, obviously he's going to find out about this, but the guy's already been fired, so what can you do more than fire him? And this is the way he's looking at it. Well, I'm going to leave office anyway. What can they do? They can't not elect me because I only get two terms. So, I mean, like I say, this goes on all the time. And with somebody else's money. Now, the master commended the unjust steward. And it says right here he's unjust. Was what he did, giving away half of the master's oil to the one guy and 20% of the wheat to another guy, was that right?
No, it wasn't right.
No. But he gets commendation for it. So, are you confused?
I'm not. Yeah.
Well, Wes says he's not confused.
I'm not confused because his master would have done the same thing.
Not necessarily.
If one of my stewards had done that to me,
no.
I'd have him in jail.
Well, he is confused because the master here is the type of the Lord. And the Lord would not have done the same thing.
Well, that steward's master could have been also a steward of another master.
That's not what it says, and we only get to go by what it says. But he commended him for wisdom.
He said, "You take your wrath for you."
Wow.
Well, there's wisdom that is from above. The Bible talks about, and there's earthly, worldly wisdom the Bible talks about. Which one do you think that he's talking about here?
The world.
Yeah, there's such a message here, and I've never heard it gotten around to yet, but we're going to get to it this morning. What is the main requirement of a steward?
To bring profit to the master.
No, the main requirement of the steward is specified right here in this context. What is it?
Honesty, I would think.
No, that's a good one, but that's not what it is.
Be an overseer of someone
else's
property.
Do with my assets as I would do with them.
Francis, what's the main requirement?
Bring profit to the master. You know, like you invest. The shareholders, the one at the end of the day, dividend.
Let me see here. Trying to remember where this passage is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Main requirement of a steward. And it's in the context of what we just read.
Are you sober?
No. Anybody there?
Husband of one wife.
Wait, what's this verse?
1 Corinthians 4, first two verses.
Yeah.
If you get there, somebody read it.
Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful.
That a man be found faithful. That's the number one requirement of a steward, that he be faithful. Faithfulness will not sell your property and pocket the money. Well, I mean, you can say honest, but faithfulness goes further than that. It goes further than honesty and goes further than integrity. Faithfulness is a term that covers all the attributes that are involved in being a steward. Doing with it what you're supposed to do with it, not just laying it up in a napkin like the one guy did, right? Remember him? We'll talk about him later this morning. So this steward is, you know, he's looking out for himself. Let me ask you this. He's now hooked up with the world. But do you think that he's going to be happier in his new life out in the world than he was being the steward of the master? Which one do you think is going to be the happiest life for him?
Steward.
Yeah, he had it made. But he threw it away because he wasn't willing to do with it what he was told to do with it by the one who gave it to him in the first place. How much do you own? You're a Christian.
Nothing.
You own nothing.
See?
We are not owners. We are stewards.
Stewards.
You have been given everything you've got, everything that's good in this world, you've been given from the Lord.
Amen.
He is the master, and you are the steward. He has instructed you in very detailed, I might add, in a very detailed way, what to do with what he's given you. Francis?
This point you just mentioned brought me to a passage the Lord ministered to me early this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7.
1 Timothy 6, verse 6 and 7. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
That's it. And it ministered to me this morning. I wonder why I was led to it.
Let me read the next one, and I'll show you how messed up we all are. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Yeah, we're content with food and raiment, right? Well, as long as it's food and raiment and the right place to live and the right car to drive and the right clothes to wear and those $297 shoes from New York. We may have a ways to go. Let's talk about what has God given us to be stewards over. What has he placed in our charge to do with what we're supposed to do with it? What has he given us?
Bodies, children.
Bodies.
Everything. Children.
Our life.
Life. Our mind.
Our mind.
Our vocations.
Some of us have a mind.
Our vocations.
Our vocations. All right. Homes. You got about four categories. I've tried to figure that out. And, you know, there could be more. It just depends on how you want to look at it. But you got your time. Life is made out of time, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You got time. You know, we don't know how much time, but however much it is, that's what you're given from the Lord. But it's from him. You got time. And you want to stay with T words for a while. You got your talent, that mind and, you know, your abilities and your ability to learn and grow and expand your horizons, so to speak. And you've got the other T word, you've got treasure. You've got your home, your family's a treasure. Is it not?
Yeah. Yes.
It's all kind of treasure. I mean, we've got, you know, there's probably not a person in here that doesn't have some money in a bank or in your pocket somewhere.
Talents.
Yeah, you got your time, you got your talents, you got your treasure. And there was one more that I just couldn't leave out because I consider it a gift from God as well, and that is opportunity. God provides opportunities. I mean, every day there's an opportunity. God says, as you have opportunity, do good to the house, especially the household of faith. God puts these opportunities in front of us every day to bless us and to enrich us and to move us forward in all kinds of wonderful ways. Opportunities are everywhere. One of the first things God taught me in my preaching ministry was about opportunity. God, he's a master at turning problems into opportunities. I mean, you look at Daniel. Look at Joseph. I mean, we just got talking, you know, studying the life of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. Would you call that a problem? Most people would consider that a problem.
A real problem.
And yet, it wasn't really a problem at all. Later he said, hey, fellas, forget about it. God did it on purpose. He did it so to preserve life. Back to the rabbit. Opportunities. You got a problem going on right now?
Yeah, I'm hungry for rabbit.
Yeah. Well, we're having some. Well, is your problem really a problem? Probably not. Not if you belong to the Lord. Your problem's not really. Think of something really wonderful that has occurred in your life. You've had a lot of family troubles and issues in the past, right? And recently, a lot of those have been resolved. They were problems. But did they stay problems?
Oh, no.
God took those problems, and like a cake, he iced it with Romans 8:28. And he took things that were made no sense and caused good things to come from them.
That's right.
Yep. God loves doing that. He hates to show off, frankly.
Yeah.
He does. He loves to show off in our lives. And I'd love for him to do it, too, because it's cool.
Problem is just solutions, waiting on opportunities.
Yeah. All right, so those are the things that God has placed us in charge over. You can step out and take a chance, is what you would call it, on an opportunity, or you could just lay it up in a napkin and say, no, I'm going to just be too conservative. I'm not going to take a chance on this. I might not be able to finish it, or I might not be able to do it, or it might not turn out like I think. Or, you know, there are ways to properly take advantage of opportunities. But to just ignore them is wasting the master's goods. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just when God shows you something and you act on it and you go through a process or whatever it takes and then the blessing comes, you got Thanksgivings going up to God like crazy.
Yeah, Lord, I'll take it.
Go ahead.
I love it when people are coming to me with, you know, all kinds of like serious things and asking for prayer. I just love it because it's, I mean, God never fails. He steps up every time. Like,
yeah.
And it's just cool, you know.
What do you think would happen if we refuse to do with what God has given us, with what he's told us to do? What's he told us to do with our time? Do you know that you owe a significant amount of your time in direct service to the Lord? We all do that. It's called a debt of love. It's what it is. It's a debt of love. God says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Well, that's a big debt. That love part, your talent. You do a lot of stuff out in the world every day, all day and all week long, and you use talents. You use your abilities. You do things that other people can't do because that's why you're getting paid for to do it, not them. Okay, but what's your talent primarily for? It's primarily for serving God. Now, we forget that. We get so caught up in using it to make money or surviving or whatever you want to call it, we forget that the first purpose of our talent was to be used for the Lord. And all the treasure now, we could go there. That's easy. God, he's given us very specific instructions on that one.
For we move and breathe and have our being.
And opportunities, when people come and need prayer, when people share, ask you for help, business opportunities, all kinds of opportunities. Those are all from the Lord. If we don't do with those things what God has told us to do with those things, are we not just like this guy? What happened to this guy? Because he didn't do right with what he was given.
He was fired.
He was called into account of his stewardship. Frankly, we haven't yet, although some have that I know of, been called into account for all these things. The master, frankly, is pretty long-suffering when it comes to this.
Oh, yeah.
Very.
But do you think that God will call us all into account with what we've done, with what he's given us? Does he say he will?
Absolutely.
Yes.
After, at the judgment throne,
yeah, he says that there is a judgment coming, but, you know, not all judgment for God's people come after we die. This guy's judgment was alive and well, when he was alive and well and had to deal with the world. Now,
it's just like earthly reward and heavenly reward. I mean, we, you know, build up for yourself treasure in heaven. That moth nor rust or anything destroy or thieves don't break in and steal.
Well, James says in chapter 4, verse 4, and I'll share this later on as well. He calls people who are out from themselves. He says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." What did this steward do? He went out and made friends with the world. So you asked a question, Terry, earlier. I'll get to you in just a minute. You said, is the Lord telling us that we should go make friends in the world? Is he? No. You know, he's not. He's not doing that. That's why people get so confused in reading this. That's why I wanted to discuss it further in class today, and just kind of have some barbecued rabbit fun with it here. He's not really telling the guy that, yes, sir, that's what you should do. Go be unfaithful with what I've given you, and then go make friends in the world. Because that's all you're going to get if you're not going to be faithful with what I've given you.
That's right. But
yeah. Now you're starting to get the message.
You see, if you're going to jump off a cliff, at least borrow a parachute.
He commended the unjust.
He commended him for the wisdom of at least taking care of what he could to preserve himself. Yep. He wasn't telling him it was right to do it. Yep. He was saying, well, you know, old Joe there, that crook as he was, he did have sense enough to go make some friends out there. And so now he's working for Jake over there. He ain't making the money he used to make, but at least he's surviving.
Yeah. I guess he can be wise and be in the world.
He's commended, but he's still fired. You know, don't get all excited about, yeah, the Lord wants me to go make friends and this and this and this. And it is wise to a degree. All right, but not to the degree of wasting the master's goods that he's placed in your charge. I'm sure that he had given several discounts from time to time according as his master was in agreement. But this is a little different story here. Man, there's just so many lessons in here. It's just an amazing amount of material in 13 verses. What's going to happen to you and me if we do not take care of those resources we've been given from our master?
You'll get fired.
You won't receive any more?
I think it all boils down to use it or lose it.
Well, that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, we use it, but it's who we're using it for that's the kind of the issue, isn't it? A lot of people use their talent big time. And many of them won't even give God an hour on Sunday, let alone using them in first priority for the Lord like we've all been instructed, which we have. There's a lot here. Your time, talent, it's not hard to figure out. Anytime you walk into a church during a work day or doing a, you know, something, event coming up like Vacation Bible School or any of those things, you're going to see who's using what they've got for the Lord. I've not been doing any of that stuff, and I'm doing okay. Well, for now.
You could be doing better than
him. You haven't been called into account yet. The Lord's merciful, very. He's long-suffering. But there is an accounting coming. I'm going to be asking a question during the invitation time later. Of all these things, like your time and your talent, and does God ever take your talent away?
No.
You don't know about Alzheimer's?
I think he does.
Yeah. No, he does not take it away.
You sure?
He said it in there.
I've seen a lot of people who used to be able to do wonderful things. They can't do anything but sit in a rocking chair now.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Once they're called, he doesn't change his mind.
Does God take your time away? Or the quality of your time? Yeah. Does God ever take your treasure?
Yes.
People lose their jobs. People lose their homes. People lose pretty much everything. Does God take the opportunities away?
Yes.
Yeah. He sure does. Which of any of those would you miss if God took it away? How much would you miss it?
Good question.
There ought to be for us a big red flag of warning in this passage of Scripture. He wants us to serve him out of love, and that is the reason. And we've been getting that. I mean, that's been hammering us. I don't know if you've been getting it like I've been getting it, but I've been getting it in preparation of the messages. And what you hear preached on Sunday, I've gotten at least 3-4 times before you got it. And it hits, you know, it hits pretty hard. We have to have our motive right, but to have the motive right is essential. But to have the motive right and then don't do it, that's kind of like, duh. I mean, that's obvious that something wasn't right. Wes, go ahead.
What I would miss over everything would be fellowship with the Lord.
Yeah, the master's home and doing well with a brand new steward in charge, and he's over here working for Jake. And if you've been in the world very long, you know Jake's not that nice fella compared to the master. He's a little harder to work for. I may be Jake. I'm kind of hard to work for sometimes. I try not to be, but I can be a little tough to work for sometimes. At least I realize it. But this is a phenomenal passage of Scripture. This thing is so loaded with priceless advice and warning for us. Usually when I sit down to start studying to preach, I pray and ask God to show me and the things I need to do. But usually the first place I start looking is where I left off last time, to see if God's not through with this yet. And God's not through with this yet. I don't know how far this is going to go, but we've got two messages in the past and this one today. So there's three. It's all tied together in this thing. So it's interesting what God's preparing us for.